Yo, what is up, everybody out there? It is Sacramento's only podcast that will never let you down with your guy friend, CJ.
This is BK.
Coming at you with another goddamn edition episode entry, log, just another thing of the friendship
podcast. Okay. Do you regret playing that for that long?
No,
now that you're,
what do you mean?
Because you're always trying to fill in that gap.
No. Because the thing was, I remembered what I used to do, which was the whole like Sacramento's insert some cheeky line about some shit.
Yeah.
And I forgot it. And then I was like, I need to keep doing it again. Mm-hmm. Double checking to make sure my microphone's the right spot.
Hold on a second. Oh, here we go.
Boom.
Again.
Got it. Okay.
Carry over. Cool. Three weeks ago.
No, it's still here. Shut the fuck up. Okay. Thank you guys for downloading and listening in. We got an interesting one for you today. Tonight, because we're not recording at night.
Nope.
We're recording
in the day.
Good
in
job.
The day.
I was wondering because I didn't know if you knew what day it is. Because
Sunday.
All the studio windows have this little fun fact. All the studio windows have like blackout curtains because BK is, I think, Nostradamus.
Yeah.
Or no, he's not the one. The Nosferatu. That's the
Nosferatu,
one.
Nosferatu. Yeah.
Nosferatu.
Yeah, sure. I'm Nostradamus though.
No. You're Nosferatu. Nostradamus. Yeah. Ooh. Say that 10 times fast.
Nope. I wonder.
You never have fun with me, man.
I know.
Remember when we had fun?
Trying to figure this thing out.
What? Really?
I'm just doing it because I know it annoys you. When I stop paying attention and just start getting real.
You're not getting real though. You're just getting annoying.
Yeah.
There's two different things.
I know.
They're not. They don't coincide with each other.
All right, I'll put it down.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Your one off-brand AirPod.
Yeah.
Did you buy another one?
No. I thought there was two in here.
We can get into that a little later.
All right.
Okay. Because here's the thing, I know people are probably looking at the episode on iTunes right now, or Stitcher Radio, or Google Play, or the website www.thefriendshippodcast.com. And
how
would
you,
like,
even charge these?
We're past it.
Okay,
we're past it. Right. I'm getting through.
Yep.
Okay, you can obviously see there's something special about this episode, but I'm gonna do the whole like we're living in the moment, so we don't
Found
know.
It.
That's tight. We're living in the moment, so I'm gonna be like, you know, usually this would be the time when I'd be like, all right, well. You know, it's another Lone Wolf episode, and we're gonna do some stuff about stuff. And
nope,
and is that the case tonight, BK?
It is not the case.
Is it not?
It's not.
Can you tell me why it's not the case?
We have a guest,
and it's not somebody who canceled.
No,
last minute.
No,
or a week ago.
No,
or a month ago.
Uh-uh.
Or any time ever in the history of them being booked here.
Right.
You got it.
Got
oh,
it.
You keep going. You're supposed to keep. You're supposed to like, because you're going to introduce. I'm not.
Oh, no, you introduce.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
BK, don't.
Yeah, I do it.
Why are you doing this to me?
Because I'm putting this all on you today.
You're putting all of your stupid fucking AirPod energy
it's
together.
It's a Sunday, man. It's different. I'm in a different mode right now.
You talk to me about being behind the scenes. Anyways, that is true. We have a guest today in studio. And this person, I'm not going to say gender because we don't assume gender here, is probably one of... Or was part of one of
Wasn't
the
that
big
our old tagline.
What?
The friendship podcast, we assume gender. I thought that was like what we started.
No.
Like that was our.
No, man.
Oh.
See, you off rip. Do it. No, fuck
it. That was our
it.
Beginning.
No, you're introduced.
No. Nope.
BK, he can't sit here unless we introduce him. We know that. We have to remove the gag from his mouth before we do that.
I'm aware.
So, could you please get it done? It's awkward.
I know.
Fine.
So uncomfortable. All
right, this guy right here. Good friend of mine. We've been friends for a long time, I'd say, just about. He is a part of an era of Sacramento music that has been probably described as one of the best, in my opinion, and just a couple other people, like five people.
Yep.
He's currently just killing it at life. I'm not going to tell you what, because he can tell you that if he wants to, because I don't want to give up more information. Please welcome in the studio today, Mr. Dan Vanderpool. Oh, you want doubles?
What's up, dude?
I got you. Welcome aboard, man. How you doing?
I'm chilling.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry we left that gag on you for so long. BK is a fucking dick when it comes to actually being appreciative of people.
Yeah.
I don't know why
sure.
I said
that's
that.
True.
Appreciative is not the word I was looking for.
I appreciate you coming.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
We do that. We do appreciate when people come out to hang out with us.
Sometimes I leave the grid.
Yeah.
This is now proof that sometimes I do leave letters and numbers.
Recorded. Recorded evidence right here. We are on... I'm not going to tell you the name of the street, but
we're in an undisclosed location. We've said that many times.
It's not the grid.
It's not on the grid.
If
that's
we
for
tell
sure.
you it's not on the grid, would you believe us?
Over, you could probably figure it out over the last, you know, we probably directly said it on one episode.
No, okay. we didn't. All right, so you're here in studio. Is this something that you thought was going to be like when I asked you if you wanted to come onto the show and now you're here? Like, is this just like really like getting your dick like limp?
Yo, dude, I'll be honest. So like... to add to that, I think I was trying to figure out when you and I had met. I have, dude, I think it goes back even to like, it's definitely grade school.
Oh yeah. No, we definitely were in grade school.
I would take
the bus with you.
I did like your description of it. We've been back for a very long time or close to that. Which
I didn't I say
know.
Back.
Yeah.
I said
yeah. You did.
Yeah.
I said for a very. I said we've been friends for
a very, very long time or close to that.
Oh yeah. Would you not say it's still?
I'm confused.
Yeah. So I'll be honest that like every time I run into you, we always say this like, dude, you got to get on the podcast, or hey man, like, have me. I've been feeling like funny to, like lately. So like, let me on. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think if I'm honest, I think in my gut, I always felt like we were just doing pleasantries.
Nah, man, nah.
I feel like it was one of those things where it was like, yeah, we should do that, or like, yeah, let's meet up, and then it wouldn't, and something would happen. And I'll be honest, when you texted me today, I was like, oh man, I forgot about this. Am I gonna bail? am I gonna bail right now? And I was like, no, I can't bail. Like, we got so close.
We did. Let's it was just like the day of.
Like,
so
it's like... the day of. He is en route to pick me up. Yeah, we got to do this. Let's go.
I know what you're feeling, because every day I think it's just pleasantries. Like, and then he shows up and I'm like, oh, we're actually doing a podcast.
I think we're doing this.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought you meant like when I text you, like in general. So like anytime you see a notification, we're like, this motherfucker and his pleasantries.
I know.
Like, I'm
so
like, hey, what's up? What are you doing today, man? This asshole.
This fucking asshole.
Fucking something. But no, I mean, because it was kind of a battle. I mean, BK hates it when I go behind the scenes. But it was a battle because it was like trying to figure out when we could do it, because
yeah,
you have
I'm
such a different
busy,
schedule.
Yeah.
I also have an insane schedule. BK schedule doesn't matter, so
nope.
That's not a thing. And it was just, you know, lining that shit up. And so I'm glad that we were actually able to do this, because I hate that it's like every. I was thinking about it today. I'm like, man, all the guests that have been like friends of us, it's always been me, because like BK's had maybe like, let's see, the Spencer, that dude. Justin, can you show me your jam guy?
Jacob. Okay.
Who else was
Steve,
a friend of yours? Steve
Darwin.
I actually forgot. Steve actually was even on the show.
Yeah.
Steve Darwin. So that's like four.
Eric.
I mean, he's your brother. Would you have a brother? Would you consider your brother your friend, Dan?
No, he's my brother.
Fine. Well, he was
like,
on the Friendship Podcast.
Like, because at the same time, like. With your brother, like, if you're not getting along with your brother, he's still your brother.
Isn't that how friends work, right? Though? I mean, if we're not getting along, we're still
but
friends.
But I feel like it's much easier for me to cut you out of my life.
Yeah.
Like, if we don't share that name and, like, Christmas. Like, you're not showing up at Christmas.
You don't know the history of my family. It's really, it's easy for me to
so
cut
like,
you out of my life,
this
apparently.
Is the sixth episode where BK alienates his family. I'm
it's
looking forward to it.
It's not true. Yeah. Not true. I'm just saying that, you know, it's definitely harder for me to get rid of Chris than it is to get rid of my family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you saying my Christian name, man?
Because when I refer to you in a demeaning way like that, I
want to. Oh, okay. Because you hurt me.
Yeah.
And that's and that's another thing, because this whole, I mean, we kind of have this weird thing. All my friends have been like, some of them call me CJ. Some of them will call me Chris.
Mm.
Dan is in the era of where I was just Chris.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows probably way more funnier nicknames for me that you've never known.
Not Crid?
Yeah, the Crid.
I mean,
yeah.
It was
like the Crid saga when I met him.
Yeah.
That was Crid, but then when we were turning around, there was a whole new the whole cheesecake thing.
Oh,
that was
shit.
A, yeah, you don't remember that?
Thank you so much. I'm so happy I got out of bed today.
Yeah.
Because I reminded you of the nickname you guys gave me, because I fucking was late to practice.
Well, you
put a cheesecake in the
you
fridge.
You gotta get into
this
the friendship history.
I was late to band practice because he left the Cheesecake Factory and had extra cheesecake and had to go home and put it in the fridge so that it wouldn't go bad. Which, solid mood, I do love cheesecake.
It does.
At the time, though, hated that fool.
Yeah.
I mean,
I feel like you haven't changed. I feel like that'd be something you'd do today.
Here's the thing. Possibly. I'll give you that. But the other thing was, in my mind, during this time, I was like, motherfuckers have been late to band practice for more atrocious reasons than this. So a cheesecake ain't going to be a big deal. I was proven very wrong.
Yep.
And it kind of fucking stuck. And there was a Z in there, too. That was another thing, I think.
Yeah, because it was also, we turned you into a cat meme.
Did you came in a cat meme?
Like, because it was kind of like, I feel like a play on, like, I Can't Has Cheeseburger.
Okay. Yeah, so I can't. Was that even, were memes even a thing? Around that time?
Kind of.
Before they're a name,
it was
right?
Like, it was because memes started showing up, because it was a lot of like that. I mean, the Lolcats was probably like the first memes I was super into, and it was probably about that time.
I'd say that's like,
but it was also
know,
like
zero.
The leet language.
Mm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like being Leet, and you would do it ironically. So everything had, because remember, like when we would talk, it was always like butts and boobs, but everything had Z's on it.
Butts and boobs.
Yeah.
I still watch that that trailer that Ian made.
The YouTube video?
Yeah.
It's quite entertaining,
sometimes
actually.
I'll see the part where it said butts. In boobs.
Yeah, that's like my only line in that whole thing is me talking about butts and boobs.
There's still a lot of shit we recorded that was.
Is it still?
Public? It's on YouTube. It's still public?
Oh yeah, I can show it to you. I mean, it's weirdly enough because Ian had a dope camera. It's still kind of shitty resolution. Like how's this kind of like when I wonder, watched it, like, I thought it was like better.
I mean, but that's 2007. That's early YouTube. Is that like a conversion thing where like maybe just the uploads aren't cool?
I don't know, man. I was watching. I just watched Superbad last night out of boredom and didn't realize how old shit was just that long ago. Like they're using flip phones and everything seemed like so ancient. It was that movie's not that old. I was very confused when I was watching.
Didn't it come out prior? Like what?
2009.
2009?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I don't know, man. That's like an 08, I think. You know what? I'm gonna look at the fuck.
But also, like, okay, so I went to a show on Friday, and there was someone that was standing to the side, and they were recording video of the show, and it looked like a friend or that was doing it. Mm-hmm. And she actually had, like, a mini cam.
Nice.
And I remember even thinking that, like, oh, that's definitely, like, I felt bad. I was like ageist, and I was like, "Oh, she's definitely older." Because who would shoot video?
Yeah,
like she's definitely an older type.
Like, why would you bring another device?
Yeah,
like I was doing the same thing on my phone.
Right,
right.
And that's not even that long ago.
No, I mean Steven Soderbergh just shot a movie on an iPhone. I don't feel like you don't need a.
Is that true? Is that up?
Yeah.
What movie was that?
It just came out. It's I forget the name. It's Unsane. I think
Unsane. That's Unsane. Cool.
It's an iPhone movie.
Yeah, he shot the whole thing on an iPhone 7 Plus.
Oh, hey, I have something better than that. So I can shoot a movie.
And he used like three little lenses that he attached to it, three, like a fisheye.
Those, what was it? The Lolo lenses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those Lolo lenses?
And he just wanted to prove that, like, they say it doesn't bring anything to the movie, and you can tell it's shot on an iPhone in a way, but he just more so wanted to do it because he wants to, like, enjoy filmmaking again and show people that you can literally make a movie on your phone,
yeah,
and get it. I mean, just like that. What was the Florida project? Or not the Florida Tangerine, was made on an iPhone.
Huh. I don't know what was that.
It was about this prostitute. It got nominated for an Oscar. The guy went on to make the Florida Project, which
the Florida Project ruled.
Yeah,
I saw that at Tower when it was there, and I didn't know anything about it. Just someone had said that they really enjoyed it. So I went, and it was wonderful.
I haven't seen it, but I hear, like, the way he tells the story is crazy.
It
like,
is.
It's through the eyes of the kids, but there's, like, a whole bunch of shit going on. It's really happy, but it's...
It's really happy, but it's really sad,
yeah.
And it's really colorful,
because
it's, like, all like that, like, someone will probably say that I'm classifying art wrong, but it's, like, it's, like, that, like, super colorful, like...
The deco, Art Deco.
Art Deco, yeah. Like... Wes Anderson
right.
type stuff where like the color has a lot to do, I felt, with like the storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
How y'all feel about that new Wes Anderson movie gonna be coming out? Or is it already out?
The
dog one?
The dog one.
I really enjoyed
Mr.
Fox. Yeah. I know, I'm like super spacey. But so in that regards I feel like it'd be cool. But
I hated the trailer because I was going to the movies a lot and I saw the trailer like 5 times and I just got so tired of it.
You're already over.
I was over, but I'll watch it. I mean, I'm not.
Is that just because your dedication to film?
No, I'll see it if it's available, you know, if it's easy to watch. I'm not going to go to the theater to see it.
I'll say available.
Because that's always the question, too, is like if you ask someone, how was that movie? And they're like, oh, it was good. You don't need to see it in theater, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had that. I've given that as suggestion as well as actually doing that suggestion as well.
Oh, everyone's seen Black Panther in the theater now. Have you?
I did see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in the theater?
No, I saw it in the theater.
Oh, you did? Okay. It's now the number one movie.
Oh, is it?
Number one Marvel movie.
Of all time?
Of all time.
It
just
Iron
passed
Man.
The Avengers.
Or is it Iron? Or was Avengers
Iron Man
the...
was like the sixth one.
Really? I thought one of the Iron Mans was like one of the bigger
it
ones.
It was the first one or the third one was one of the bigger ones.
You know what,
but
hold
that's whole adjusted for
we're getting off topic, man. We have a whole guest here. We're talking about all movies. Right,
what
and
up,
shit.
Cheesecake? Let's go.
This is dumb. All right. Now you're going to use that? Now that you know that, you're going to use it more?
Maybe.
I mean, it's fine. I don't care.
Okay.
So, yeah, me and Dan have known each other for a long time, since grade school, going through Rancho Cordova, where we both grew up. I wouldn't say born and raised. Were you born in Rancho?
Yeah, dude. Take the boys out the Cho. Can't take the Cho out the boys.
Don't say the Cho. No one says the Cho.
Is this like the Boo? Is it like...
It's like the Boo,
like
dude.
The Boo?
I am Rancho Cordova's Jamie Kennedy.
Wow. Nice. I like it.
I mean, I don't know who I'd be. Wasn't there just a fat guy, too, in that one?
I don't know. I'm very confused.
You're Turtle.
Like, okay, yeah. I mean... Yeah.
Rancho does have its own unique, like... None of the other place, no one's like repping Citrus Heights around here. You know, Rancho has this whole dynamic of people like, I'm from Rancho, like on a lower level than the Sacramento people. Like, I'm a downtown person.
That's weird to me, too. Like, to go back to that show that I went to, a band that opened their opening thing, like, you know, you play your first two songs and then you do your What's Up, and it's like, What's Up, Midtown? And I was like, who says that?
Yeah, right?
Who says that?
Like, how we doing, Midtown?
Yeah, like, dude. Hollywood Park, what's good? Yeah.
Waiting for you to play some songs, jackass.
Right. I hope no one from out of town is here.
Yeah, right. Then you're going to feel real isolated. Sorry. So it's fair to say that you have a fair, a decent enough admiration for Rancho or the Cho, right?
I mean, I feel like that's like a portion of my life. That if you didn't know me when I lived there, then I probably don't say anything.
It doesn't define you in any way?
No, I definitely say that I'm like from Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing that as well. But then it's like, as like kids, like growing up there, it's almost like it was lame enough to where if we were like, man, we're from the Cho, like it's almost like we're trying to take it back to be like, oh no, the Cho.
I feel
cool,
like,
man.
It was in a way like an ironic like badge of honor, like that whole thing. If you acknowledge your weakness, then like no one can exploit you for it.
Right. Yeah.
So if like you just rep it super hard, then no one can be like, hey, you're white trash as fuck. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
It's like,
I'm,
BK?
I'm Rancho Dan, dude. Like,
what's it like?
What?
When you know, you somebody comes to you and they try to say some shit about you, but you say it before them. You know, I know everything he's got have against me. I am a fuck. Sorry, we're really in the 8 Mile here,
dude.
And so since you,
I know, and I bleached my hair too, and I like subconsciously have like referenced 8 Mile.
Yeah. That's see, sick. So the whole time
it's
I'm
the
like,
greatest short film ever made.
Like when Dan was talking about it, when he's like, yeah, like that you say that shit before, like, I'm like, I hear right now, rapping in my head, like I know everything he's got to use against me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just if Eminem taught us a lot.
Yeah.
If you listened.
Yeah.
If you listened, he was a great mentor in life.
He's really the hero we needed, you know, at the time.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He was like, not just 8 Mile specific. You know, like, why are we do?
This is what we do.
Tangent-y.
This is how it works.
People want to know what's up with Dan. They don't care about 8 Mile, the greatest show.
They're learning what
ever made.
Dan enjoys and likes and where he's from.
This is why I try to get you to lead, because I get anxious when I think things aren't going well. So I'm like, we gotta get back on track. And BK's
but
more
you
about,
guys, I'm hearing about these great stories that you have, and I don't know what to ask him. Like, I didn't know cheese that wouldn't have come up for
how
me.
How hilarious is that, though?
I mean, I was. As soon as I was like, I'm going to have Dan on, I knew going into it that there was going to be a lot of shit that I was like, BK is not going to know any of this nonsense.
Which was the band that, was this the band with the bus issue or the...
The bus issue?
Yeah, the band, like when we got escorted inside a cop car?
No. I remember he had like insurance on a van.
Oh, yeah,
something.
No, that was the whole, we left the van in Novato
okay.
Because it blew the fuck up. And then I got hit with, because fucking Shan wrote a goddamn note on the thing with my number and my address. And so sure enough, when they pick it up and they're like, oh, we got to find somebody. Boom. I get hit with the shit. They fucking garnished my check for 3 years because of that shit.
Shut up.
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. Because here's the thing. And this is how interesting this kind of Venn diagram sets up. Because when I was at Volt, where I met this fool, the Apple job, that's when it fucking started with the garnishment. So. This fool would be asking me, I'm like, yeah, man, I
how
can't.
How much was that?
I think it amounted up to at least like $2,000.
Oh, my God.
Because it was, there was like fees for like, because they took it to, apparently they took it to a junkyard. They like had to like pay the junkyard fees, tow fees. And then on top of that, there was the insurance shit. Because remember when we got pulled over in, where was it? Clear Lake. We were playing Ukiah.
It broke down.
Yeah, and we managed to get it to Ukiah. Like some dudes who we were there, like we'll fix it for you. and we bought like some shit and they tried to install it and fucked it up more for that because I didn't have insurance. They hit me for that too. So I want to say in total it was like $2,000. And so this fool was hearing all my griping. I was like, man, yeah, I can't do anything, man. I ain't got nothing because our checks were fucking small.
Yeah. Oh. I don't know what it was. That seemed to be a large theme where I feel like Volt seeked out to let people know that this person's getting a check now. Because there was like a bunch of people there that were getting garnished for something in the past. And I've never had that in my life before.
Volt did not give a fuck about your anonymity.
What was the deal with Volt? Was that just like tech support?
It was a temp agency.
And we just happened to land. Like one of their biggest contracts at the time was because it was when the iPhone was already out, but they were gearing up to release the 3G and they needed like a bunch of bodies to do tech support.
Damn, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
But it's not.
It is though. No. Okay. I know. Just to get back, your guess for Superbad, 2009.
Yeah.
You want to guess just to play a game when it came out?
Superbad?
Yeah.
2007.
Eight.
You can't change your answer.
2008.
Okay, Dan's technically closer because you fucking changed it. It's 2007.
Boom. It was seven?
Was seven. So that is kind of a decent amount of time.
I mean, I watched that recently, and when the guy that hits him with the car, right, and he's being like a real creep. And
Jello
like,
Trulio? Yeah.
He's like trying to like mellow it. Yeah. He's on the phone with the girl. And he's like being the cool guy, like, yeah, you're going to give it to her?
Yeah.
He gets awkward and he asks, so are you guys on MySpace?
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa.
Yeah, I know. That was one of the other things.
Which, again,
yeah.
MySpace, not that long ago.
No, it wasn't. I mean,
technically, it's still going. The same thing.
The first iPhone is 10 years ago. I mean, it doesn't seem that long to me. For how quickly like things changed from the first iPhone to now, technology-wise, it's not a lot of time.
I mean, aliens, bro.
True, but like, what is the cycle now? It's like every 6 months, right? Like,
well, I'm not talking about specifically the iPhone.
No, but I mean like, technology. Yeah. It's like every 6 months, really, you're going, like every calendar year, you're probably going through two or three generations. Mm-hmm.
If you're PC master race and you're trying to keep up on like parts and shit,
that's insane.
I mean, that's the biggest money sink of all, because every six, not even that, because like once it's released, like, oh, the new GeForce GTX, like, fuck your mom, it's so great. Yeah. Like they've already got something fucking two other generations of moms before that.
Yeah,
true. And then you're already done.
Well, that was the whole thing with the new GT 680 or whatever, the one that was like blowing everyone's minds. The employees already had a better graphics card that was like two generations further, and then it leaked out, and people were pissed off because they're like, well, what the fuck? Like, now I'm gonna buy this, and then you guys are gonna come out with this in a year, and I'm screwed.
Mm-hmm. But then I couldn't understand like how, like. So gaming PCs is like that. Like as soon as you open your graphics card, it's expired, like or like obsolete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right,
but then, like, how do they squeeze so much time out of consoles?
That is, I think
that's the whole thing where, like for me, I don't know. I've never played a 60 FPS game. No, I've never like had a really good PC.
Oh.
So I've never been converted. But I'm sure like the people that get the good computer would go back and look at the console and be like, okay, yeah, now I understand this is just bullshit. Like
the console's bullshit.
Yeah.
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 I mean, that's the thing. It's bullshit, but I also think it's like, it's kind of the smarter move if you're just looking for, like, as you said, getting all of your, like, because people are still buying Xbox 360 games.
Yeah,
like,
well, it's a balance of convenience versus the technology. Like, the console's just way easier to, you just buy a box.
And yeah, then you buy a box, and you load play up. Games.
Like, a PC is a whole different thing.
True. And like I remember like for a long time, was it the PS4 or PS3 where like that was the cheapest Blu-ray?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
people that that was a smart move because people that weren't gamers were buying them for the Blu-ray, which that's funny too now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not owning physical media.
Right.
At all.
It seems our fucking archaic right now.
Well, because people are mad that the PS4 does not have a 4K Blu-ray player. And I think they did it because they feel people aren't buying 4K Blu-rays. But the Xbox has it, even though Sony invented the technology for Blu-ray. So it's very confusing. Like, I have a friend that's not going to. He's not honoring a deal we had at this point.
Yeah. I like the sound of that.
Basically, I bought the new Xbox One X, and I'm going to give him my Xbox One. And then he is going to buy the PlayStation 4 Plus or whatever it's called, and he's going to give me his PlayStation 4. But then as soon as he found out it didn't have a 4K Blu-ray player, he was like, and I already gave him mine, so I'm screwed.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, I don't think I called that, but I definitely had strong feelings that was going
to
happen. Yeah.
So, brings me back to my point.
Yeah.
That not your friend anymore.
No.
No. That guy is not coming to Christmas where your brother would.
He's just got a house with a pool, so he's still my friend.
Okay. I mean, how specific are we going? Because I was about to make another reference that would have been more specific to this person.
What?
Well, when Dan was like, "Oh, he's not your friend," I was gonna be like,
"Oh, we're best friends."
I was like, "Little did you know, this fool's gonna be in the motherfucker's wedding." So
that's true. Yeah. I will be in his wedding.
So the whole reception is gonna be like, "Yo, man, what's up with that PS4 Plus?"
Yeah, bro? If I don't get the PS4 by the wedding, I'll probably ruin his wedding in some way.
How?
I'll figure it out.
Give me one scenario.
I won't show up.
You think that would ruin it for him?
He said it would.
Okay, well, there you go. Then that's an eat no risk thing. Already have your out. You can rip pull it.
Yeah.
You got it.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So you want to ask Dan anything, dude? You're still talking?
We're still having a conversation.
Okay. Dude, I hate how you call me out for trying to direct shit as like, we're driving conversation.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's not like a panel show. I'm not like, hey, so Dan, when you first got into Turn It Around, what brought you to that point? What made you want to?
Oh, that's actually a good question. You have no idea how good of a question that is.
Literally the long and the short of it was, I was super creative or trying to be super creative, like, because I was like probably like 19 or whatever, and I'd recently ran into Chris again, and we were hanging out with him, and I'd met like his friends that he was in a band with at the time, and I would go to their shows and hang out and like go to practice space and hang out, because I didn't really drink at the time, and we were underage anyway, so it's not like you go to bars, you would hang out at the practice spot. And then I decided I wanted to put out a 7-inch because it was something that I just wanted to do. And I had never done it, and I'd found like a guide on the internet from the guy that runs Bridge Nine. He had made like an ebook.
Shoutouts to Bridge Nine.
Chris Wren made an ebook of like, yo, this is how I get a lot of emails. This is how I put out a 7-inch. This is like what you need to do. So I saved up, and the only person I knew that was in a band at this time was Chris, and they were doing something new, and so I was like, yo, let's do a 7-inch. And we did that, and then I don't know why they had decided that they wanted to add another guitar player.
Wasn't that Justin's decision, I think?
It could have been.
Decision, but I think it was like his suggestion, because maybe either that or Shan. I mean,
which was true. It was boring with just one guitar. Like, they needed
it really was
something else to like play off of, and they were like trying people out. And then I remember, I think the first time it got brought up, Justin had mentioned it. It was like, yo, this just kind of makes sense. Like, I think everyone kind of views you as part of the band anyways. Like, you put out this record and like you just hang out with us, so like you kind of already are in the band. Like, do you just want to be in the band? I didn't really play guitar that well, but I did it. So essentially I paid to be in a band. Right, it was definitely
to officially get in there.
That cost me like $1,000.
You're still $1,000 under CJ, who
and like
we've all incurred fees.
So Crid, we're even now.
Yeah, I mean, to the most, I mean, I'm not going to take into the consideration that the prior to the actual, because I'll say when Dan got involved was when the band was actually getting like good, because like we were kind of getting there, but like there's still some shit that was like kind of from our old iteration. And what I mean by that is the Yard of War. I lost money on that too. I'm thinking about it. Because I paid for the pressing of CDs, if we're talking about ancient fucking media. I really hate it, because the one theme throughout all of my interaction with the band is that I do not spell check anything.
Oh my God, it's terrible.
Case in point, the Art of War CDs. We had a song called Heroes, right?
Right.
I believe I spelled it H-E-R-O.
Apostrophe S?
No. There's no apostrophe. Someone tell me what's the right way first.
H-E-R-O-E-S.
Okay, right? I think I said heroes. With an S. That's it. So hero with an S at the end.
Oh, instead of adding the E to it.
Instead of E-S. So instead of heroes, it was just heroes, like hero cereal or whatever. Mm-hmm. That one was like the first like, ugh. The second one was on a badge.
But like that was going to print?
That did print
it. You didn't spell check something going to print?
I'll bring you the CD. I mean,
to be fair, in hindsight, I don't think Photoshop has spell check, does it?
It doesn't.
No, but the internet existed, right?
I mean, it did, but I'm not going to sit here and be like, I was so sure of it. I'm like, I'm not going to fucking do it. Okay. Like, whatever. Yeah. So it's only my own gusto I have to worry about. That's no big deal. But the second one, excuse me, we did a run of shirts. This is now Turn It Around. Our first batch of shirts, too. So we're all kind of stoked. We had a crucial back photo on it. So everyone was kind of amped on it. And I believe, if I remember correctly, the typo was, it's supposed to be, these days are what we live for. is what it's supposed to say.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I spelled it, these days are we live for.
Yeah.
So
it was. And it essentially, which again, back to meme culture, man, I think he was just like, all these bass are belong to us.
Why did you guys allow him to do this, though? What was the...
No one else was stepping up. At least that was my iteration.
Yeah,
but...
man. It was like a... It was like a lot, like that's what was what he did. Because to bring it back as far as like how did Dan get involved with this band, I think Chris also was trying to not, Chris at the time I think was like the business contact.
Mm-hmm.
So like if he was trying to book shows, he was emailing and he was the email and like all those things. Yeah. And I think, again, because I just was trying to get involved in things, he was like, well, if you want to book shows and like kind of be like quasi manager and just like take care of all this so I don't have to do it, sure, whatever. And so like I would be the guy to email or try to book shows, or like at the show I would show up and then like settle up at the end of the night, or merch. And so because I think that he was doing like a lot of that stuff, but
I mean just by default it wasn't like I was trying to grab it. It was just more so just everyone like, else was like, we're in the music, and I'm like, well, we also need to fucking play outside.
I think that Chris was also probably the only person that knew how to use Photoshop.
Yeah.
Like to a degree. Like, I mean, I think everyone else, if like, I mean, case in point, like BK is like killed it with Photoshop, just getting on it and doing his own thing. So I feel if somebody just happened to try it, they've been way better than me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I was trying to like all the like hardcore guys at the time. Like I was just trying to emulate all their, you know, back photos and all that shit. So, I mean, it wasn't
you
hard.
You get really into it, though. I mean,
I can be. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, once I get flowing, yeah.
Well, I could see like that being an easy thing for you to pick up, whereas if they're just focused on playing. To me, the picture you're painting, I feel like the cheesesteak name was a very,
cake.
Very rude.
Cheesecake. Come on,
cheesecake
man.
Name
Come
was
on.
Very rude.
Thank you.
It was rude?
It seems like he was doing everything. He shows up late once, and you guys give him a nickname.
We ribbon. That's how that shit went back in the day. Because, I mean, if you want to, just so, you know, we don't get, you know, you don't think it's all mean, there actually was a name that Dan had in the band that we used to call him, Dirtbag Dan.
Oh, Dirtbag,
yeah. So... I mean, it wasn't like we were all like, oh, fucking dirtbaggers. We ripping each other.
I think you've mentioned on the show before, but how did all this end? Like, what was it? Was just a petering out or?
Dude, like it was probably like really like sad and anticlimactic.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I mean, I kind of remember what happened, but it was more so just like, wasn't Shan fucking up and just not showing up?
Shan, I think, didn't ever really like being a front man. And, I think just like where he was, like he didn't come to like practice a lot, but I don't think he was like,
he wasn't blowing it off.
It wasn't
he just
blowing
was
off.
Something.
It was just stuff. And I don't know if he ever felt like comfortable, because he was kind of pushed into that. I felt like
he was, because essentially you haven't heard it, but basically prior to like Dan coming aboard and even before Justin, we were shitty ass Goodbye Phoenix, and there was four dudes. Shan was always a guitar player, so he's always like the guitar dude.
Mm-hmm. Really good.
He was. Oh, really good. Absolutely. I mean, I will not disrespect Shan's guitar playing. He's a man. But he also plays guitar good. so I realized I said he's a man. I'm like, that just makes me sound like I'm saying he's a man.
You could just said the man.
He's a human being. I could have. Or at dumb guitar. Man.
Dumb man, yeah.
Dumb man.
Yeah.
He the man now, dog.
Yeah.
But anyways, so then Gurr got our lead singer at the time, got really like weird. Like, I'm not gonna go over, but he just got weird. And so we kicked them out, and then we pretty much had studio time already booked to like make like out the album.
Mm-hmm.
And so a day we had to basically come up with a new name, a new whole thing, and then we needed a singer. And Shan was like, I guess we just were like, yeah, Shan. And so since then, he was always the singer. So when we went from Goodbye Phoenix to The Art of War to Turn It Around, he was always the singer. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there wasn't ever like a, oh yeah, we'll do it, or oh yeah, you're the man. And we're just... That is what happened.
Mm.
And, you know, I mean, I can see that, though, because he never was really amped about like doing lyrics and shit like that. It was always just like, oh, yeah, I'll do it because I like doing this. But I feel like his passion was guitar. Or
also,
is
being up front, like, it's uncomfortable.
It is.
Especially if you're used to like just kind of like jamming and like kind of being able to like be in the background because there's like a drummer and other people on
and
stage
just doing your thing really
it's way
well
more comfortable.
Yeah, it's way more comfortable than, especially like you do a set and if you're trying to like riff like between songs, like, how's everyone doing tonight? Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
if you're not that dude, like I could imagine Shan just being like, god, like what, like
Yeah, like what do you say to these people? Like in between songs, like yo.
Yeah, like a front man is born a front man. It's not something that like you become or get good at. I thought
he was good, but I also could see where he was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it got to the thing where we're all at the age where instead of actually like, you know, hashing this out to like, you know, as normal human beings, we were just kind of like, man, you gotta get better, man. Like you don't care. Yeah. And so like we were like, all right, that's gonna happen. And then once we realized that Shannon was going to be the singer more, and I don't even think we you're going to be gone. We kind of all just were like, all right, well, I guess that's what it is then. And then we kind of just stopped. We all moved out of the practice space, and we all just kind of went about our lives.
Mm.
You like the little wing thing?
But then you went to Killing the Dream after that, right?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
I wear the shirt a lot. I wasn't a part of the band.
Oh, okay.
DJ did try to get my Lights Out hoodie off of me at the last show, though.
Oh, yeah?
I told him no. Mainly because I just waited like a month and a half for some dude in Las Vegas to give it to me. So like that
did
was the first time
like
it worked.
eBay or something?
Nah, Bridge Nine. Yeah, it wasn't the best move. Yeah. But it's also like it's labeled
as... Did you PayPal him?
Yes.
Wait, and so you... Oh, never mind. You got the thing. I got it. I thought you were saying you got ripped off.
Oh, no. I mean, more so just it was printed as an XL or a double XL. It does not. It's like an XL, a double XL if you're like wide, but it's super short.
It's a fat boy.
Yeah, it's a real fat boy. Yeah. So, but I mean,
where did
you
go after that?
I think I tried to get like a real job. I suckered in. I like... I was like, oh, I'm going to go work in an office and do payroll and like try to be a freaking adult, even though I'm 22. I should probably be doing way more stupid shit. So I just saved that for like a decade later.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as you get around to it.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
that's
get
really what it
to,
is.
Like just doing it. But no, I think I tried to start another band. I talked to a bunch of people about starting other bands, but again, I think that goes back to like pleasantries.
Mm-hmm.
It was like people I'd go to bars with and like, we should probably do something.
That, I mean,
and then it doesn't happen.
Back to it.
You know what I mean? Or like, it's also super laziness probably.
Yeah.
Cause I don't even really play guitar anymore. I tried recently. My roommate's plays guitar and it's like a songwriter and sometimes I'll jam with him and dude, if you don't use it, you lose it. And I was never that good to begin with. So I just kind of moved on from music, even though I still super like it. It's just not something I do.
I mean, I feel like you guys got past this pleasantry of being on the show. Why don't you guys start a band together?
Nah, I suck.
Because that's a lot of effort, dude. Like, it's a lot.
Not now.
No, and
not now.
If anything, it's even more because, all right, so check it out. So his schedule.
You're trying to be like a band that's successful in tour and shit, but if you just want to make music together, that's not a
thing. I mean, that's a whole different thing then. That's like, I mean, that's more of
true.
A.
True.
Like,
you're talking
jam.
About like the beer league softball version.
Yeah.
There you go.
Band.
The weekend warrior.
Well, the you just get out the creative side, you know?
Yeah.
Something you enjoy.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean,
I don't know.
I get it. I've tried to do it with like a bunch of other people.
You've been talking
well.
About your fucking debut rap album for I don't
actually,
know how long.
You know what? Actually, I'm kind of glad you brought that up because this guy right here actually recorded the first struggle track ever in a bedroom in Rancho.
Mm-hmm. It was my bedroom. Yeah.
Yeah. It was his bedroom. It was what? What were you using? God, what was that recording software you were using? It wasn't Fruity Loops.
It wasn't Fruity Loops. Audacity.
No, it was something else.
I recorded into Audacity, but then there was another, like a multi-track program that was designed, and I did turnaround stuff, but then one day we were messing around with that, and I don't remember what it was, but I had like a hacked version of Reason.
There you go. That's what it was.
And then I ported that into something, and Chris rapped over it.
We had there's little samples that they have, and we basically, he put that sample in, slowed it down, because at first it was like a really like speedy, like, It was super weird, but we like halved it, and then it just became this little trill, like
You're definitely smoking this hot fire for sure.
And so I started rapping about MLK, and next thing you know, the struggle was born, man. Yeah,
I know there. I have like a few hard drives in my closet that I have to just get data off because I know that there's like a bunch of just gems, whether pictures or like stupid, like scratch tracks like that. Like that we were just messing around in the room making.
There's probably hella just scratch tracks from just us doing like home demos and shit.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Like, I do have, do you have the demo tracks before we called it quits? Like basically all the stuff we were getting ready for the album for?
I have just the MP3 that you sent me, but I never.
Did I send that to you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if I sent it to you. Cause yeah, that's, I'll still jam that every once in a while.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Even with my fucking shitty bass bass playing. Yeah. So there's one song where you can clearly see our drummer's going along with the track, and it's just me and him, and it's just this like drone like dun, 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 and it's just supposed to be on time. And you hear for a split second, I get off team, so you just hear Ian like going away, and you hear me go and it's like just like audible hiccups. Mm. It's funny, but it's also fire. So
yeah.
Put that in your hat and smoke it.
Well, I can't wait to hear the debut of, you know, your next collab.
Yeah, no.
SoundCloud.
Yeah, no, dude, we're going to be SoundCloud rappers for sure.
Yeah, but like we have to move to Florida, essentially become a new metal band, and we have to adapt names that have Lil in the name.
It's true. Lil death metal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can't think of anything.
Yeah, I'm sure you got some.
Mine?
Yeah.
It'd be like, I don't know, you could be a Lil Dirtbag.
No, I think that'd be you.
Little Dirtbag, little Cheese.
Yeah, you just do that. Little Cheese. I like that. Little Cheese. Yeah.
Little Cheese.
And Cheesecake Bites.
Ooh.
With a Z.
I like
that. It comes back together.
With two Z's.
Two Z's. Oh, because it's cheesecake and the bites.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You need the double Z.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'm feeling it. You know? I mean, although I actually, all and the other thing too, I don't know if you've been hit with it more, but when you're getting out of music, the gear that you accumulate over time when you're using it, then once it starts sitting for a while, you get kind of a, I mean, I don't know about you, but you get a little pissed off, I guess. Because like I had all my bass gear for the longest time because I was like holding out. I'm like, there's going to be one time I see that one Craigslist ad where someone's going to be like, yo, want to start like a melodic hardcore band with bands that are actually cool and not fucking, you know, Whitechapel or whatever the fuck else.
Whitechapel's and sick. Shout out to the homies.
I mean, I don't know if they are. I've never listened to them, but I know they're not a lot of hardcore. That much I know. And then, you know, people are just sending me tracks like, hey, man, check this out. And it's fucking like some reggae nonsense. And I'm like,
that's a very common thing.
The only.
It seems for the last like 3 years.
What?
Reggae.
Yeah.
Being like. Just a bunch of white dudes making reggae music. Seems like the...
You're talking shit on Revolution, baby?
I mean, there's a lot.
I love Rebel.
Ivy's finest, dude.
But no. So, I mean, I don't know where I was going with that. How you doing over there, baby? How you doing?
Well, what were you saying about the instruments?
Oh, the gear. I held on to it for so long, and then it got to the point where I was just like, I'm just going to sell it. And it just kind of hurt your heart a little bit because you're like, it's like a fucking... It's a part of me. Like, I remember, like, doing cool shit with you.
Well, you recently bought a guitar.
That doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't?
No.
Oh.
We've been over this.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. You told me to take that one. I feel bad. I don't want to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's cool. And plus, it has cool black strings too. That's
I know.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think of this guy, Dan? What do you think of this?
Let's hear Dan play a little.
Sounds like.
Yeah. I'm sure it's in a very good.
I'll plug you right in,
very
dude.
Good
you can
condition.
Yeah. Anyways, brother, here's Wonderwall.
Right. Right. Anyways, here's Wonderwall. But no, I was going to say I could use a re-up.
Okay.
Of Vika.
All right. Are we at that point?
I mean, I think so. I mean, yeah.
I appreciate your guys' style that you have vodka breaks and that you have monogrammed cups.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. We do this podcast. Yeah, clink them together in front of us.
Super proper.
Bing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we try to do a reel up in here. All right, so
we put more effort into the accoutrement to the show than the actual show itself.
Right?
I mean, you can't tell now because fucking Brendan, our webmaster, he's been killing it.
Yeah.
We've revamped the site.
Yeah,
so it looks,
site, yeah.
If anything, it looks clean as fuck.
Yeah.
So don't do that. Okay. So how should we take them out to Vodka Break this time?
I don't know. I think you guys should clap on a song, a Vodka Break song real quick.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, how would we do that?
Well, like, I mean, just give them an example of a past song, like Vodka. There's a whole like Vodka Break.
Okay.
Vodka Break. And then you guys clap on one.
I mean, it's really just a clapping gimmick where we just, you know.
No, you guys can do whatever you want.
No, I'm saying, I'm not saying what you're saying.
Okay.
I'm saying
why don't
usually
you use these as maracas or something, you know?
So. I don't think people can hear me over the thing.
All right. Well, I mean, that's why he is going to do the lyrics, right?
I got to do the what now?
The lyrics?
The lyrics?
Vodka Break song?
There's got to be a jingle there for vodka. Vodka, if it's not Ciroc, fuck off.
Works for me.
Yo, guys. It's CJ from the Friendship Podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying the first half of the show. Just needed to give everyone a quick heads up. All of our loyal listeners, our legions of fans, as it were. You might be going back to our back catalog on iTunes, and you might be saying to yourself, where is the episodes 1 through 25? They're slowly but surely dying away. Don't fret, they're not dying. We're not deleting them. We're essentially keeping them all in a nice little time capsule on the internet at our home at www.thefriendshippodcast.com. So if you can't find any of the older episodes you might be looking for, just go ahead and check the website and they will be there ready for you to enjoy, for you and your friends. So let's just get back to the show. So BK, what do you want to get more famous, Frenemies or the podcast?
Us as a duo.
Okay, good question. Or good answer. Welcome back, guys. We are back here with Daniel.
I don't want to be famous.
Dan Vanderpool. Do you prefer Daniel or Dan?
I usually go by Dan.
Like, what happens if someone says Daniel? Do you like?
I actually just assume that you've known me longer.
Okay.
I had a manager that insisted on being called Daniel, and it really pissed me off. It's like, why? I have to, like, because it was mostly through chat. Because and I had to always type out extra.
Yeah,
for Daniel.
You had to type out that I yell.
Yeah, and it's like, why can't I just call you fucking Dan, dude?
I also I appreciate like concise language. So like if you just say Dan, it's less energy being expended.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to waste it like Daniel.
Yeah.
It is
yeah.
Dang.
Dan. Dan. The D nickname.
Which one's that?
Just D.
Just hey, D? D.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of because I've got B.
Too
like,
broad.
I know, but I get like I feel like certain consonants.
It's usually the ones that sound like E.
Yeah, like I get called B.
This is some guy. You're just coming back to B-Man. Do you want me to call you B-Man?
B-Man? I don't know. No.
You want me to try it out for the rest of the show?
I don't know why that ever happened.
Because a convenience store clerk saw you too much.
It was a Subway?
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and he was my manager.
Oh, okay.
And he called me B-Man?
Shows you how much I listen to your stories.
Yep.
So, the second half of the show, Dan, if you don't know, I'm assuming you haven't listened to the show, which is fine. I never require anyone to listen to the show. I just, you know, I hate...
You definitely won't listen to it after being here.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, if anything's proven, anytime any of my friends, or any of our friends, actually, I'm not going to hold this to just me.
Yeah.
They come on the show, like, they'll like, oh, yeah, I listened to a couple episodes, and then I'll be like, yeah, you listen to that one? No.
Yep.
I'm like, okay. I mean, that's cool. I mean, I didn't ask you. You have to come and listen to the episode. Yeah. You can
like
just,
when you go see a band, and they play a cover, and you're super bummed out because everyone knows the cover but you.
Yeah.
You're just like you're the one dude in the room that doesn't get the punchline.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck.
It's like learning how the sausage is made. Yeah. You don't want to eat sausage anymore.
All these people are losing their minds. They're having so much fun, and I'm just confused right now.
You're just like, is this? And you're trying to hear it, thing like maybe if I just listen harder to the band, I can get it, and it'll click. And you're just like, no, I
got nothing.
Nothing, dude. I mean, just because you mentioned covers, do you remember when we were told that Pat Flynn was jumping up and down to one of our covers at Guildman?
No.
I don't know why I said Guildman. Gilman.
Gilman?
Gilman.
Uh-uh, I don't.
Nah. Yeah, I remember I don't know if we talked to him or someone else. No, nah, because he's booking. I mean, to show how much of a superstar they were. They were booking plane tickets while we were opening for him. I mean, which, you know, I feel it. You know, you're from Boston. You gotta get your air travel done.
What's your favorite cover song?
Like of all time?
Yeah.
That's weird, because wouldn't that just be my favorite song?
No.
A cover of,
a song.
Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
The cover.
The cover, yeah.
You're extending this because you don't want to play the games.
No, that's not true. I mean, we're just talking.
We'll start off with our guest, man.
I think, because are you specifically asking where the cover is better than the original?
If you feel that way.
Because if we're saying that, it's probably going to be Johnny Cash's version of Hurt. Mm-hmm, is probably one of my favorite.
I didn't know that was a cover.
Really?
Yeah.
As a Nine Inch Nails cover.
Yeah. I didn't know that until.
And the thing that is really conflicting is because I really liked, my older brother was really into Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, MTV?
So, no, my older brother.
Oh, not MTV.
I don't know if you knew him, but.
I don't think so, no.
But I really liked that song already. And then when you like listen to Johnny Cash, like, fuck, I think he beat you.
Mm. Like, who did this to you, Johnny
But I
Cash?
Think he admitted it. I think he said. I think Trey Reznor was like, yeah, that's a better version of that song.
Yeah. Another one that's like that is Ryan Adams' cover of Wonderwall. The Gallagher brothers have like said in interviews that like, oh, yeah, that's his song. Mm. Or like, what did Noel say? Noel said that he didn't understand what that song actually meant until he did it.
Damn. That is quite the compliment coming from.
I mean, there's
from...
the Jeff Buckley Hallelujah. Right?
That one.
Everyone...
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Obviously, some 41s. What was it?
What?
Beat It? What do they cover? What Michael Jackson song are they covering?
Bro, why do you... He always does this. Whenever he wants to say this band, he'll always say... Alien Ant Farm. Smooth Criminal.
Every time.
This guy.
Every time.
He lived through it. You lived through it. You should know.
I know.
Oh, The Weeknd doing Dirty Diana, if we're talking about Michael Jackson. That one's fire.
I don't think I've even heard that one.
Even though, like, The Weeknd kind of is just Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. like...
He's a modernized version of Michael Jackson.
Yeah, the production's like pretty cool.
Darling Nicky from Foo Fighters.
That one.
Okay, now we're just naming off covers.
No. That's definitely not like better. Because it's like,
Well, you can't beat Prince.
You're talking about the Sinead O'Connor thing?
What?
It's not a cover. Did he just write it that Nothing Compares to You?
I don't know.
I'm
what's the Gary Jules?
You're talking about Mad World?
Mad World, yeah.
That one's pretty cool.
I mean, it got real. It's kind of like Fight Club, the movie, where it got bros took it over, you know? Like, you can't like Fight Club because too many bros are about it. Whereas Donnie Darko's, like, a lot of bros are all about that movie. So it ruined Mad World because of
Yeah, kind of. Speaking of like the bro thing, I'll bring it back to nu metal every time. I told you guys I was going to do this. So
nu metal is like
nu metal as far as like the bros taking over something. Mm. Ironically, I read an interview with Fred Durst where he was saying that he was bullied.
That doesn't surprise me.
And that was why he ended up getting into bands. Mm-hmm. You know, art. A lot of people do that. You get bullied, you do it.
Yeah.
Misery, creative expression.
He said, ironically, that he felt like his music was about being bullied. And ironically, his band became like the main band for the bullies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That the dickheads were the ones that liked Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see that.
Yeah.
It definitely happened to like come out that way.
But that's going to happen to like a lot of artists.
Well, I do want to know. I mean, sorry, not to cut you off, but did Fred Durst listen to those songs like Limp Bizkit? Like, as soon as they came out, like, he's in the studio listening to them. He's like, yeah, this is really, like, conveying my message of being bullied.
Well, he really had to feel like an artist because he did the Behind Blue Eyes song, covered that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that one.
He did.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's better than The Who.
Do you?
Wasn't mm-hmm. that for.
Really?
Wasn't that for a movie, too?
No.
Was it Halle Berry in that?
No, what you're thinking about, it wasn't for a movie. You're talking about the making of the video?
Yeah.
I think they just caught Halle Berry.
That's a good get. Yeah.
I think Fred Durst was just so hot then that like...
He was on top of the fucking world, he could just do whatever.
But then he comes back, the comeback of the century.
Please tell me you're talking about Gold Corbin.
Yeah. Yes. Because he comes back, but who brings him back but Wheezy signs Limp Bizkit to Cash Money, and you're like, yes, this is the tightest thing that has happened. I didn't know that I needed this partnership to happen, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got that single, the Ready to Go single, with the Wheezy verse on it.
Was it a Wheezy?
Yeah, the Ready to Go. Gold Cobra, the Ready to Go was after Gold Cobra.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God,
definitely.
Okay. I mean, was it? No, yeah, I know. I mean, I'm not going to argue your knowledge of nu metal, but I mean.
I was just remembering like how big they did the theme for Mission Impossible, right? Which was like a huge deal.
Yeah, that song was good too. Yeah.
It was
I liked it
over the Metallica's one.
Was that that was what I was going to say. Was that the same movie?
I hope it was.
If it was the same movie, they definitely had top billing on creating the song because that was the song.
Metallica?
Started, no.
Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit.
I remember that was a Metallica song that I actually don't mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you mind.
No, it's not that I'm anti, but I just don't need it.
Yeah. It's just something that I don't need.
I just don't need it. It's definitely.
It felt weird. I was listening to a classic rock radio station and Metallica came on and I was just like, I don't know if this figures into classic rock. I don't know.
It's like 96.9, the classic rock station here in Sacramento.
Yeah.
We'll play Nirvana.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Just to give you guys an update. They absolutely were in the same fucking Mission Impossible.
Oh, really, dude?
Yeah.
That Mission Impossible was hot fire.
Dude, no one could fuck with that Mission Impossible.
That was the John Woo one, right? The MI3
MI2. Yeah,
it was
right?
The one where Tommy with the long hair.
Yep. Tommy with the long hair.
Becky with the good hair.
Mm, nah. So can I answer for covers?
You didn't contribute at all.
Well, because you asked him, and then he was doing his thing, and then you just started jumping in. But no, I mean, personally, this is just coming from my own heart. Say Ferris's cover of Come On Eileen is fucking dope.
I will also, in the same vein of like way too upbeat 90s music, Real Big Fish cover of Take On Me.
Yep.
Hot yeah. Fire.
I mean,
how did we not mention Faith when we're talking about Limp Bizkit?
Oh, shit.
I mean, come on.
What right. broke him, you yeah. know, pretty much.
Yeah. I think because it was so tight, we didn't even know it was a cover.
We assumed everyone knew, like, if you're talking about Faith, you're talking about the Limp Bizkit one. Because right. who's going to be like, yeah. oh, yeah, no, the fucking George Michael one, yeah. right? You know that one?
Was,
like,
it, was he George Michael then or Wham? Was it?
It was George Michael.
George Michael. George Michael. Solo yeah. George Michael.
With them, with that denim and that fucking leather yeah. jacket. Yeah. Fucking swank.
yeah.
Is that you about that video?
I mean, that his hair in that video.
That swagger. He had a bunch of swagger in
he
that
did.
Video.
He
like,
did.
Durst? Hair alone. No, George Michael. Michael. But also Durst. Yeah.
That, well, wasn't that video just like, it was like Family Values footage?
Yeah, it was tour, oh. yeah, tour
it was
footage
just
from,
tour footage.
From yeah. Fam Values. How would Family Values hold up now?
Mm. It's Monster Aftershock.
Oh, is it? No, you're right. Yeah.
I mean, it's not directly, but essentially, that's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that we were able to harbor that here, though. You know.
Yeah, because the only other city, and they get Knotfest is San Bernardino. Mm. So it's Sacramento and San Bernardino straight holding it down for the new.
Mm. I mean, people be coming to us, mm-hmm. and then be coming on us. You know what I'm saying?
Well, who's in new metal now?
Who's like, in new metal now?
Who would I know? That's not like. Because there's a lot of fucking bands.
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, that's like a thing.
Is new metal around now?
Yeah, but it kind of like, it came back. There was like a revival. Mm-hmm. So there's a band. Man, here we go, boys.
that's why you're here. Yep. That's why you're fucking here.
Strap in. I am drinking a bubbly water and I'm stoned. So we could go for a while now.
Hey, I mean, if one thing we're known for
so,
is going long.
Yeah, it's like kind of back. It got like hip. There was a again. It's always Florida, but
is it underground back or is it backpack? Like is it?
It's like underground back.
Yeah,
it's so it was in the sub basement
because
and now it's back up to the regular basement.
I feel like just nostalgia as a whole is hot.
Yeah,
right. And the thing that's funny is like things that are definitely decades apart. Their resurgence is running parallel.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's almost like going back. It's like we went this far, and then now we're coming right back to Point Horizon.
Yeah.
But the thing that's weird is I can't think of, like, when we were younger, what was the old-fashioned thing that we were into, you know? Like 80s and 90s are what people like now.
True, but the 90s, and the only reason I kind of feel this way is I had much older siblings, so like 7-8 years older than me.
Mm-hmm. Always a benefit in the music type of situation.
And just like mm-hmm. your remembering of like culture in the 90s, and I remember my sister specifically super in like the 90s were just ripping off the 70s. So like if you look at like Smashing Pumpkins like cover, like their album art, like mm-hmm. it's all like it's those like
that is true.
The bright color, the fisheye lenses.
Well, November Rain.
Yeah, like
totally
if you think of like
that was definitely 70s inspired.
If you think of like how like Blind Melon, you remember Blind Melon?
Yeah, Blind Melon, yeah.
Yeah, like all that stuff like kind of just looked like psychedelic bands.
Right,
like
kind of hippie-ish kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was kind of like that.
It was out there.
Yeah.
Quote, but I think unquote. Because like, you know, you're eight or 10.
You don't recognize it?
Yeah, because you have nothing to compare it to. Yeah. So that's your memory of the 90s.
Well, I guess the flare jeans were in the 90s, flare jeans, like the almost bell bottoms were a thing that came
for a split
back
second,
for
I'm like,
sure.
Are you talking about a band? He's like,
no,
flare
like,
jeans.
Like I'm talking about like bringing like
yeah,
inviting
bell
out of old culture.
Shit.
Yeah.
You true.
About that. Yeah.
All right. So who's holding the new metal crown now, though?
Yeah,
is my question.
My thing is with rock, like rock music. You look at the top charts, and it's like Imagine Dragons. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
What's yeah, that's not. Or like, if I think, because I remember I sat down. I have a teenage niece, and I sat down. And, like, she's super into, like, oddly enough for me, just because of, like, the age, like, Fall Out Boy, I think.
Mm-hmm. They are still around,
I think
kind of surprised
me. She said that
me.
That's her favorite band, mm-hmm. which blew my mind, because it wasn't From Under the Cork Tree. It was the one before that.
I always
take
think
this
the blue
grade.
One, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
Take This
there
to
you
Your Grave.
Mm-hmm.
That came out, I think, we were seniors in high school.
Yeah.
So, like.
Yeah. That's what's weird, like, the things that we were, when we were older, that we chose to listen to. Is what all the kids like that were like 7, like My Chemical Romance was there. So they were 7 years old, like
have
listening
you,
to
like seen like the emo nights like phenomenon,
yeah. right?
And
that's been blowing up, yeah.
And that's like everywhere. It's all across the country. And for me, it's like super. It's a wild thing because you're literally paying a cover to go in to a building to just sing along to a jukebox. Essentially, that's
right.
what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah. Drink. Hang out with your friends and then listen, basically karaoke with everybody.
And yeah, it's essentially you're paying to go to a sing-along super fascinating, like, phenomenon, but that's, like, true. Like, mm-hmm. and all of those kids that go to those nights, 21, like, yeah. they're, like, they were probably in sixth or seventh grade, yeah. maybe younger even, right. when mm-hmm. that stuff was, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
Where Which it is was, nuts yeah. to think about in itself.
It like, is.
Just
it is.
By itself, it just seems crazy.
Yeah.
I've never actually been to one of those emo nights. I've been asked several times, but I'm always, like,
They look fun.
They do. Yeah, from the outside looking in, it looks very fun.
I feel like kids now are going to definitely have a great taste in music because it's so saturated now that you have to really find good music.
True.
The if there's someone that has a good taste in music when they're like 25, in 25 years or whatever, they're going to have a really great taste in music because they had to actually look for it. Like, it wasn't yeah. something that was just on the radio, and they, because it's just, everyone would love mumble rap and like yeah, Adele and shit. Yeah,
Lil Boat, Lil Goat,
Lil Boat,
Lil Fairy.
When are you gonna write that, Lil?
Oh, like my BuzzFeed listicle,
yeah,
of like my favorite Lil rappers,
right?
20 Lil rappers. Yeah.
Do you have a name? Because we are really good at names.
We are.
Yeah.
Do I have a name of what?
Of what the title of that would be? Like, what would you?
Oh man, it would have to be like something incredible.
Wait, title of what?
Oh, I was explaining to him that like I got in the last year I got really into SoundCloud rap.
Okay. I mean that is a big thing.
Because the culture like fascinates me, and then I found out Florida is the capital of SoundCloud rap.
Oh,
which also fascinates me because Florida as a good friend of mine calls it, is the Paris of the South,
uh-huh.
and the last great American state. Shout out to Chuck. But so all of the things that come from Florida are fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, to bring it back, the nu metal thing, the first time I realized that this is going to come back full circle is there was a bunch of like metal core dudes in Florida that started a Slipknot tribute band called Turduncan.
I think I might have seen some YouTube videos
like,
of that.
Again, I'm probably wrong. I feel like it was like that, like Kids Like Us area.
I mean,
Florida.
It sounds like that.
But yeah, so I got really into Lil rappers that their names, everyone's
start
Lil.
With Lil.
Everyone's yeah. Lil now. It's mm-hmm. Lil Dicky, mm-hmm. Lil Windex. My favorite currently, Lil Toenail, a.k.a. Topak.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that dude's spitting mm-hmm. hot fire right mm-hmm. now.
Does he ever utilize the Topak, Tupac, like,
well, explain kinda, the yeah. explain the outfit.
The outfit.
Oh, you've already seen this.
No, I was okay. explaining okay. it. Okay. It's my favorite rapper right now, and he wears a ski mask and a toe costume.
Like yeah. a toe? Like a toe. Like a foot toe.
Physical toe.
Yeah, but okay. he's Lil Toenail, a.k.a. Topak.
Now, is it the whole thing? Like, Lil
no,
Toe,
no.
A, so he's just.
It's just like a, I think like a nickname slap. I don't even think it's an alter ego.
It's like the AKA, right? Uh-huh. Like how Wu Tang, you know, is like, kinda. You know, ODB, AKA Old Chinese Restaurant, AKA whatever yeah. else.
Right.
That was a Chappelle bit, but I know he's had yeah. a bunch of other AKAs. Yeah. I just can't remember them right. at the time.
But yeah, so I was telling him I wanted to put together a listicle of my favorite Lil rappers.
Hey, yeah, we'll publish ooh, that shit on our website.
A listicle.
Oh, that could be a shit. Lil listicle.
Lil listicle. Oh, man.
Told you we're good at names. Luckily, this is easy. You just got to put Lil in
it. Yeah, it's really good.
Straight up coming at you with the top 10, Lil listicle.
That's probably why there's so many Lils. You could do anything with it.
Also, I just realized that kind of is like the Stone Cold Steve Austin, like.
Speaking of which, did you guys celebrate?
Nah, when I was too late.
You didn't celebrate the 316?
I didn't have anyone throw me a beer.
Yeah.
Two beers, actually. I didn't want to do just one. I did it once on the river,
uh-huh.
and it was fucking...
Magical?
Because it was across a whole flotilla, so there was like at least 10 people behind between me and Russell. And I was like, Russell! 316! Got two, and he chucked into me. And like I did it like on the raft. I was like... And like, here's the thing. He wasted a lot of beer doing that because, I mean, mm-hmm. he's probably better at it than I am, but it gets messy, especially when you crack them.
Have either of you listened to his podcast?
I do. It's actually really good.
Yeah.
I haven't actually. Right. I mean, I've heard, here's the thing, I've heard nothing but good things about it, so I wasn't going to be like, Stone Cold Steve Austin ain't going to come correct on no podcast.
Yeah.
Of course he is.
He brought beer or something, or brought vodka, and Steve Austin. through it and gave him whiskey. Like, we drink whiskey.
You know? Oh, that's hilarious.
I mean, that's how it goes.
Post Malone on recently. I still haven't listened to that one.
Ooh, I listened to that one.
Yeah.
Posting the Texas Rattlesnake.
Yeah.
That sounds like a celebrity tag team match. Like, who would they go against? Like, if they're going to do a tag team match?
Okay, yeah. So, like, a tag team where, like, at WrestleMania, they'll usually do it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Where they'll bring someone in who's, like, just a huge fan. And it's like, you're getting in the ring now. Yeah. So, like, who would Stone Cold – who would you want to see Stone Cold go up against in a tag team nowadays?
Okay. So, it's Stone Cold and Post Malone?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the first team.
Okay.
Versus?
Ethan Hila.
Who?
H3.
Oh. Hey, who's he? I mean, I figured you'd start with the superstar, then you go to.
Oh, okay. So it's got to be a superstar and a.
Well, it has to be superstar because you can't have two regular dudes going against Stone Cold.
Well, I want The Rock there, right off the bat.
I don't know, Dan. What do you feel about that?
The Rock. I mean, it seems like the the logical pairing as far as
I like when he's brought back down to wrestling because it feels like it's his place. You know, it's when he feels the most comfortable. And when he's in the movies, he's like, he's Dwayne Johnson. But when he's back at WWE, it's like, The Rock.
That persona is just so good.
Mm-hmm. It is. You're talking about The Rock persona? Yeah. Like, oh, dude, his whole run, and I'll even defend the early-ass, like, Rocky, what was it?
Rocky Maivia.
Yeah, I'll defend that shit, because even that was fucking interesting to watch.
Are you talking about corny-ass Rocky Maivia, but pre-Nation of Domination?
Yes, exactly. Pre-Nation of Domination.
So he's, like, super pretty and, like, smiley.
Yeah.
And then everyone fucking hates him. Die, Rocky, die. He joins the Nation. Fuck all of you.
Can we put that? I mean, I know I'm not a good thing at this, but I do want to find the Nation of Domination theme and, like, play it, like, right
we
now.
We are the Nation of Domination.
Okay, playing right now. Yep. I'm going to do it. Yeah. I'm doing it. So, but I'm in post. It's going to go in.
Okay.
All
right. You're actually going to do it.
I'm going to do it. I swear. When I'm done, I'll have Siri remind me.
Okay.
I don't have my phone right now, or else I'd be like, oh, no.
I think, okay, so the Rocky one just seems logical because that's like a great feud, but who would his celebrity pairing be?
And that's the thing, because you also have to take in mind that you got to play off Post Malone too.
Yeah.
So it's like, who do you think Post Malone would beef with?
I would think DJ Khaled.
Ooh.
I don't think that's.
Well, but then that it throws a wrench in the things because The Rock needs to play the bad guy in that situation.
He does. Yeah. But then what happens is Posty's getting hit with the rock bottom.
No. Okay? Oh, God. I would love to see that.
But as he's hit with the rock bottom, DJ Khaled is in the corner. He's just pounding away on the turnbuckle, right?
Mm-hmm.
He hits him with the rock bottom. What's Khaled yelling? Another one.
Yep.
Hits him again. Another one. And he's just over and over. And that's the finish.
Yeah. Now after, so is it going to be like, you know, boom, another one. Boom, another one. And then when he's done, he's like, boom, we the best. And then throws, like, does like his the one that's going to take him off the ropes or some shit. Also, inversely, gives the opponent the time to counter if that's how the match is
going to
go.
I would love to see a Post Malone Stone Cold Stunner.
Yeah.
That would be delightful.
Post Malone taking a Stone Cold? Oh, no.
Giving a Stone Cold.
A stunner.
Yeah.
That would be pretty sick.
Okay, I can. So Post Malone and Stone Cold versus The Rock and DJ Khaled.
Is this too bold to say that wrestling is the last true place for total creative freedom?
Dude, I'm so happy I fucking got out of bed today. Like, literally, Chris texts me 9:30, and I felt terrible. I had forgotten, like I said, I was just going to get stoned and sleep all day. And I looked at it, and I was like, I got to be there for my boy. And I'm so happy I did, because I tell that to everyone, dude.
Right?
It's the greatest form of theater. Yeah. And then at some point, someone's going to be a dick. Well, isn't theater the greatest form of theater?
No, there's rules, man, there's restrictions, there's blocking, there's
so
shit.
Insane.
Like.
Because even if you think about, like, the way it's telling a story, they shoot their television show, to me and you, kind of looks the same every week, right? Mm-hmm. But they are on the road. That is a different fucking building.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, all the
every
time.
Every week
yeah.
when you watch it.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, that is insane that that's how they shoot a story.
Yeah.
It's always with an audience live. The audience is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it constantly is going.
And they manage that many characters.
Yeah.
They're embracing of anyone that wants to come be a part of it.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, case in point, like The Miz. that motherfucker was from the real world, just parading around with a fake ass WWE belt, like, Luke, I'm a champion. And now look at this motherfucker. Yeah. He's literally a champion now.
He's literally the champion. Rolling Stone said that he was the best wrestler last year, which I kind of agree with. He's been killing it, and like, I do. All of the accolades that he's got, he's just been such a fucking asshole, and he's so good.
He seems like
he's so good.
Like,
at it.
Anytime I see a photo or some video of him, I'm like, I don't follow your storyline, but I can tell that you definitely get the skin of the fan.
Yeah.
Everyone hates him, and he's good in the ring. Like,
there's this video you got to watch of Max Landis?
Hmm?
Max Landis?
No.
John Landis' son, he wrote a bunch of movies. He wrote Bright and some other shit.
But he's the one to blame?
Yeah.
Okay, I still haven't seen it, but I know that everyone hates it.
Yeah,
everyone hates
it. I mean,
he's written some good movies, written some good movies. But he has a YouTube video about wrestling, and it's all about Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, and how he has navigated through WWE to become what he is now, how he's never been a star. He's bit off of stars, like and he does it masterfully, like how he basically was nothing until Shawn Michaels came around, and then he like folded into that and then kept, like, just watching the whole video is basically about any wrestler can you know, mutate into whatever. Like John Cena started out as like some military bullshit thing that
true, and then he was like a rapper.
Yeah. And just how we talked about The Rock, like he was, you know, how you can become the complete opposite of what you start as. And they just,
the one I think that does it the best so far, if you look at like his whole career, is like Chris Jericho. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll take breaks.
Y2J.
Yeah. And so there's the Y2J thing. And then he comes back and he always has something. I mean, he got over and like got big again when he came back because he wore a scarf. And just like the way he wore a scarf, you fucking hated him. and then he was putting people on lists. Like, yeah.
He's
like
got a podcast too.
Yeah.
He does.
He does. Isn't it something like Walls of Jericho or something? I don't know.
That actually might not be that far off. I can see the cover on it, but I don't remember what it's called.
I mean I do have to say, like, when Y2J jot, I don't know why, but I remember when he like dropped or whatever, it was like at a WrestleMania or some pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And that was when I was still in the wrestling. I remember like leading up to it, like it was always just timer, and it just was super quick, and just like, what the fuck is this? And like, you don't even know. And then he comes out and like everyone's screaming, you're like, oh, fucking tight. And you're still like, I still don't know what this dude is. Yeah. So he does this thing, and then he comes in and he says, like, you know, finally, I forget what's he saying, because then he says some shit about like, finally The Rock.
Welcome to Raw's Jericho.
There you go. Like, you know, and you're like, I don't really understand your bit, but I don't like you. But it's like, I like to not like you.
Right. Yeah.
And I could be wrong. If it's not the first time Rocky did this, because he interrupts Rocky when he shows up, right? And
you're right. I do remember
that. It was
supposed
to count down to the millennium, because it was supposed to be for the year 2000, and then you realize that it was going to expire early. Y2J shows up. And he interrupts The Rock.
First time
The Rock
did it,
says, "I'm sorry, we haven't met. Like, who are you?" And he goes, "My name is, like, it doesn't matter what your name is."
And it
was the first time. And so, like, Jericho shows up and kind of gets punked.
Yeah. He does.
He kind of gets punked, like, from the get-go. And he's, like, been super tight.
But that's great. Like, you have to, it's like the trial by fire. You have to get past it. You have to keep going.
Yeah.
Become,
you have to go through the gauntlet.
Yeah. Because everyone starts out so fucking generic. Like, they're nothing, and the good guys are have it the hardest, because you can't be, besides John Cena, I don't think there's a really big good guy that isn't also an asshole. Like, you know, Steve Austin is a dick.
True,
but
he's
the quintessential anti-hero, though. I feel, because it was not, even though, regardless of what he was going through, I felt he always stuck to the like Texas Rattlesnake persona. Mm-hmm. So even when you're like, oh, like, you know, he's supposed to be, he's the good guy, but it's like, to him, he's like, I'm just doing this you know, as a means to an end.
It's like the guy the bad guy with morals, you know, like, that's who you're rooting for.
And everyone wants to drink beer and stone cold stun their boss.
Oh God, right. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You ready to play some games now?
Okay.
Cause I've been sitting on this, and the only reason I bring it up is because
I just remembered
why it was. And I was like, fuck, I forgot about it.
All right.
So, even though that was a wonderful discussion, I know you've been giving me some shit about it. We do, I think I told you post inviting you over, that we do have some games we're going to play. This one we're going to play, it's called Point of Origin. What we do is we take a saying. Everyone's kind of known this thing. It's been something that's been, you know, circulating around for a while. And, you know, we know what it is, but we don't know where it came from. And so we do our best to kind of come up with where we think it might have came from.
Or we know where. I know where it came from, probably.
Okay. You're that cocky?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I'm not confident.
Okay. Well, I guess it is. So the term that I have for you, it's not necessarily one that's like in the past. Like, it's not like two birds, one stone, you know, look a gift horse in the mouth. It's a, more of a saying that we just say all the time. But it's like where, I mean, I'd like to know your guys' opinions on the term. So the term I have is, it's all good in the hood. Right. We've all heard that before, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure most of us might have even said it at one point in time. So, Dan, where do you think that came from? Where do you think?
Do you actually know the origin of why people say this?
He's asking if you do.
Yes.
If I do.
Yeah. Dude could save the king. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. All good in the hood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is.
Yes, I am looking at it.
Yeah. That, okay. All good in the hood happened.
Oh, God. I can't wait to do the death.
The
crackhead in Friday says it, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But why? Why does
but
he say
why
it?
Why does he say it?
Yeah. It had to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. There's a point to the origin of
Thank you, BK. Yeah. Thank you for reminding him that there's a point of origin.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So the crackhead in Friday, he's selling crack.
Yep.
Right? Or he's selling TV so he can get crack, right?
Right.
And
seems like a bad deal.
Yeah.
You know?
And then someone's trying to buy crack from him, and but this guy is like super high tech. He's got a Square set up. He takes all different types. He's like, yo, you can get me on Bitcoin. You can get me on Litecoin. Ooh. It's all good in the hood.
Litecoin?
Yeah.
I'm gonna stop. I mean, I'm gonna stop my questioning. I do want an explanation on that, just because I don't even know what that is. But we'll do it later.
But they knew about cryptocurrency in the hood before anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
why are you poking holes?
Because
no, stick to the bit. Like, deal with it.
Someone came to buy crack from him, and he was like, "All right, how do you want to do this transaction?"
Mm-hmm.
He was like, "You know, cash, fiat currency,
mm-hmm.
or some altcoins. It's all good in the hood."
All right.
Okay. And so it was more of just a response to when someone was trying to get crack,
yeah,
and they needed more methods of payment.
It's a shorter version of all currency is accepted. We'll take all forms of currency.
Yeah,
it's all good in the hood.
All good in the hood.
Yeah, all of your anything you could. It's same as like TVs. You want to give me a TV for crack? It's all good in the hood.
All goods are in the hood, which is my vicinity, my pocket.
Wow, yeah, I like that. All right.
You want to take this one next, or
I'd like to hear your take on it.
You want to hear my take?
Yeah.
Okay, my take's a little bit more unconventional, to say the least.
Okay.
Okay. We're going back to medieval times. Okay.
Ooh.
What's going on is a lot of people in medieval times, they wore hoods. All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something that happened.
Yeah.
You know, so what was happening is these guys, these, you know, knights and, you know, all these things who are coming back from their tours of duty. I don't know what they actually call them, but, you know, patrolling the kingdom, making sure everything's safe, locked up. Making sure everything's just normally medievally, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they get back to the kingdom, however, they got to pass a checkpoint, right? Because they're not just going to let any schmuck in, even if it looks like your boy. Because what happened if your boy got killed, that dude stole his armor, rolled into your hood, tried to fuck you up. They got to make sure it's you. So what they had to do is when they came off, boom, they had to take off their helmet. And under the fucking helmet was a hood, right? And so what happened is these dudes would like kind of inspect it and kind of look at it, and they'd make sure, you know, there wasn't any bees or any debris, make sure it was actually the same person. And they'd go, all right, then, all good in the hood, meaning it's all good under the hood.
Right.
We know who these motherfuckers is. Let them through.
Yeah.
And so as time went on, it just kind of became an affirmation of like, yo, is everything cool? It's all good in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
You're affirmating that everything with you under your hood is good.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
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 Makes a lot more sense.
I mean, more sense than currency?
Nah, I mean, I still like Dan's, though, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I like that.
Not just because it involves Friday. I just want to make
I mean, I don't want to cut holes. I think the cryptocurrency thing is weird, but I think that accepting any form of payment is a great way to explain all good in the hood.
Yeah.
Mine's darker.
Oh?
Yeah.
Like Donnie Darko?
No.
Not that
dark. I think it started as a police code.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like when there was something
you're
going awry,
you're treading a real line right now.
Am I treading a line?
Especially in Sacramento right now, man.
Yeah, it's current. It's topical.
Speak easy, my friend.
I feel it started when shit was rough. When the LAPD was a gang,
okay.
They were They were basically the mafia.
Mm-hmm. We all familiar with that time mm-hmm. of L.A., Los mm-hmm. Angeles.
Yeah, and it got bad, you know. They started looking at people in the hood as not even people, like, you know, underneath them. And when they took someone out that they felt was causing trouble.
Mm-hmm. Causing a ruckus?
Yeah, it'd be all good in the hood. Like, now that we got rid of this shit bag, it's all good in the hood. Mm-hmm. And someone heard it and then they tried to take it back, like another word that we used in the past.
So it's like you're cutting out the rotten part of what's mm-hmm. making a good apple good. Yeah. So when it's like, it's all good in the hood, you yeah. went, got
it'd
it
like,
out.
It'd be like, yeah, Johnson.
Is that the name?
Yeah, Johnson.
Oh, what's up? What's up, Sarge?
What's the 5'7"?
We got two guys out here causing trouble, Sarge. They're shooting everybody and they're stealing a bunch of things.
Yeah. Did you take them out?
Yeah, it's all good in the hood, sir.
Boom.
I didn't realize I had to say all good in the hood at first. I'm like, yep. Where am I going with this?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. What do you think about that, Dan?
Dude, it's like too soon.
Is that a too soon moment?
That's why I said tread lightly, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't stop it because you went to L.A. and I was like, all right, I'll see.
I think that was how the cops rolled back then and now.
I mean, today. You did preference it with the era in which you are right. I mean, given it doesn't seem like that's changed much. I mean, it has and it hasn't. But no, I mean, I can still. Do we grade it? Because I don't want to grade it because we are.
No,
right.
We don't have to rate it. But yeah. I just like the fact that they took it back. You know.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's true. Okay. So now this isn't the definition, but I've often go to Urban Dictionary to get our definitions of these sayings, mainly because they're just funny.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows where they actually came from? Yeah. But here's the top definition as provided by Urban Dictionary. Everything's cool. Nothing's wrong. Nothing spelled N-U-T-H-I-N-S. The example is, me and that bitch ass Shaniqua were fighting, but I bout to, wow. Then I bout her some cheap ass chocolates, and now it's all good in the hood. I would like to make sure everyone is abundantly clear, because everyone knows I can't talk. Mm. It is then I bout, B-O-U-T, her some. Mm-hmm. I bought her some cheap ass chocolates, is what I think they wanted to say.
It sounds like a racist person writing black dialogue is what that sounds like.
This is from Lucy.
It's very cringing.
Yeah.
It is very cringing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. Here's a more worded one. All good in the hood. Meaning everything is perfect and going well in your life or current situation. Could be a question or a statement.
These are giving us definitions, though, not origins.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I put in origin. This is what came up.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what you want from me.
All right.
I mean, do you have another source of internet encyclopedia?
No, I feel like you'd have to, like, this would be like a proportional deep dive. You'd have to figure out where why we started calling it the hood. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then go from there.
Okay. Well, I mean, I do see one that says origin. Let's see if I'll try it again. Yeah, no, it goes right back to it, man.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, there's It's All Good, an article by the New Yorker, but that's 2001. Mm. Dated information.
Mm.
So I mean, I don't know.
Somehow, what happened in 2001? There's something.
Why are you trying to stir shit all the time?
I don't know.
Everyone.
Is it too soon for that too?
It's not too soon, but it's just, I don't know why you would.
I don't know why I do it. I just do it.
That's a very roundabout way to bring up 9/11.
Yeah,
like, it really
exactly.
is. Like,
that's what it was. Yeah.
This is what I have to deal with. And this is my best. This is my best friend now. Yeah. This is my best friend. Yeah. So, okay. So out of those three, I mean, you can't vote for yourself. I'll go first. Just because I realized I was going to make Dan go first. And I'm like, I can't keep making Dan go first. That's rude.
Yeah, it's rude.
But it's like weird because I go, never mind. I'm way over the place. I'm going to say I like Dan's better.
Mm-hmm.
Only because I like the kind of specific nature of where it came from. Mm-hmm. And I like that a crackhead was the one who came up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like I get enough credit for the stuff they do that's not destructive or mean crackhead related.
They are creative people.
They are. Absolutely. Everyone's creative. You just gotta find your switch.
Yep.
Their switch is cocaine or crack. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Cocaine's for a different
version of cocaine.
There you go. There you go. BK, who'd you like?
Well, I think we gotta go with Dan because he can't vote for himself. You just voted for him, so I have to be the tiebreaker.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't know if there's a tiebreaker, but okay.
If he votes for you, I have to choose between.
Oh yeah. Or you, oh okay. Yeah. I see. Yeah. I see. I didn't even realize that.
Yep.
But
exactly.
Okay. All right. What's up?
I liked yours. I liked Chris's. I liked the medieval thing of, like, goods within a hood.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I tried real hard.
Wait, that was yours.
Huh?
No, it wasn't.
Goods within a hood?
Oh, because he said, like, within
his hood.
Yeah, okay.
So everything is good within his hood.
Yeah.
The protective layer between skin and armor, man.
Mm-hmm.
You so, good? I'm all good.
Yeah. You good, mate? I'll say mate. They never yeah. Unless you're a knight in the Australian
right.
Outback.
Sure.
I don't know. BK, break it. Or just vote for yourself and say, fuck my rules.
You said I can't. Yeah, I can't.
I mean, myself. I said that. Yeah. Do you listen to things I say?
Often, yeah.
Well, then I guess that, yeah. I guess then I got nothing for you.
Yeah. I do like yours. Mm. But
I like how every time someone tries to make a decision, they start off with
I got
like
a shit sandwich it, man.
Okay.
I got a shit sandwich
okay,
it.
All right.
I do like yours. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that it could have made it all the way to current because you did a modern term. Yeah. I don't think
oh,
it could
the have translation would have been lost long ago.
Yeah, it would have been lost for sure.
I mean, aren't most things that we have nowadays aren't offshoots of random other things?
Yeah, but I mean, you did say it's all good under the hood and it turned into it's all good in the hood. I get that. That's like a slight transition, but I don't know why it would have been so specific to the hood. I feel like, you know, the goods because, you know, people be slanging. People be slanging in the hood. And you yep. gotta get what you're gonna get by any means necessary.
Are you? I don't know if you're trying to like get into a character.
I'm trying to do the writing from the Urban Dictionary. I'm trying okay. to be that guy.
All right. I was like, because you're getting way. Yeah. I'm like.
Are you? I like the idea that it's all good in the hood means that you can. Yeah. If you give me back whatever you can. Like, if mm-hmm. you got a TV, I'll take that. You owe me money. Give me whatever you want. It's all good in the hood.
It's like the same thing. Like you remember, like you go to a show, and you're like, I want to buy this record. I want to buy this shirt. Fuck, I don't got no cash. Mm-hmm. When bands started fucking with Square, it was a godsend. I'm sure that they sold way more merch.
Oh, yeah. That uptick because so many people would go prior to the show, hit a bank. They didn't want to miss the show. So they're like, fuck, I didn't uh-huh. hit the bank. And you don't want to yeah. use the club ATM because it's usually going to be the same, you know, $3 and then $2 yeah. for your bank, whoever you're banking with.
There's a weird transition. I know I'm older than you guys, but the whole, like, I think you probably experienced it was just like the transition of cash to debit card. Like, there were still places that only took cash and how awkward and uncomfortable that was.
Yeah.
Like I can't go eat at Wendy's because they only take cash.
Really?
Like that was a thing.
I remember when like a friend, he would only use his debit card,
mm-hmm.
and that was weird.
Mm-hmm.
But his reasoning was so smart that it's like what we do now. He mm-hmm. was like, I like being able to track my transactions. He's like, I don't have to
right.
write anything down anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
That like I only use my debit because I can see every single transaction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a blessing and a curse because then you get to
yes.
see all the,
yes,
you know,
yes,
dumb
yes.
shit you
yes.
bought and you're like,
yes.
if I just lock it up.
Especially
the next
now when they like categorize it. If you go to your like banking website
yeah,
and they're
yeah.
like, you've spent $700 at the grocery store. I'm like, what the fuck am I spending $700 on?
Right. It's just, it's not good. Okay. So I guess that means that Dan wins point of origin.
Danny wins.
I don't have a,
Danny
I used to have
wins.
A cheering, I think.
Nothing.
Season 5, folks.
Yep.
We are in season 5, and I'm still guessing on this soundboard.
Yep.
Okay. So there was actually, I'm going to sandwich the last two things together because I actually totally forgot that we skipped something.
Oh.
So I'm just going to sandwich them in.
Oh, because you didn't do it in intro.
No.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So what we usually do is at the beginning of the show, we do a thing called friendship levels where we will ask each other, you know, how we're feeling. The general friendship vibe, like, is it something that you're cool with and you're like, we're good friends, or is it like you're dead to me, like I got beef? The whole thing was it's dead to me to best friends forever, anything in between. You literally can just make up whatever you want. That doesn't mean that you have to hit any of those.
Okay.
It's just how your vibe is.
Yeah, so right? Now you have to tell us how you started and how you finished.
No, right? Just because here's the thing, I was thinking about it. We've had to talk about doing it in the beginning where it's like, oh, well, the guest hasn't really, like, gotten to know us.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like a moot point to gauge it.
Well, no, because his friendship level at the beginning would be, like, pleasantries. Like, it was, you know.
Don't go putting.
I'm just saying, like, he could have just said that.
Don't go putting friendship levels in this guy's mouth, okay? That's not cool. We didn't invite him into the studio for you to just slang fucking terms into this guy's
okay.
mouth, okay?
Gotcha.
Not cool.
Gotcha.
Would you stop fucking with that off-brand AirPod?
I'm trying to put it away.
No, it's in the box.
This isn't, though.
Okay. So, you know, this is actually perfect segue. I'll go first on friendship levels, and you're just going to go how you feel right now. So, right now.
Is this a group friendship level? Or
yes. Okay. We're doing group because okay. I know you hate group ones. I'm feeling right now, I'm riding high, but I'm keeping my eye on BK. Because I'm feeling what's going on right here. I'm glad that, you know, we were able to burst into, you know, what's the word that you use for when you're talking about something and you go off on a different thing?
Tangent.
Thank you. We've been going on a lot of great tangents. We've been getting a lot of information about, you know, nicknames that people didn't know about. But I'm also keeping my eyes on this motherfucker because he can't sit still. He's just fidgeting, playing with everything. Like, I feel if he had a fidget spinner, he'd have two of them in his hands just like...
Those things are difficult.
They really are. Like
he, I can't do them with one hand.
They're harder than they make them look.
Than they look on they the
are.
Internet. Yeah.
The tricks are... It's harder than lighter tricks.
Those, like, YouTube, crazy. Those YouTube kids certainly know how to fidget their spin. Mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah. So, yeah. Riding high, but keeping my eye, parentheses, on BK.
Okay.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
BK, what's your friendship level?
Like, way opposite on yours. I mean, apparently you can't look at something else and hear someone mm-hmm. in your mind.
Yep. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Careful. Don't pop a blood vessel.
I'm trying to think of the word that I would use for it. Unexpected synergy is my current friendship level, because I feel like I didn't know what was going into this thing. I didn't know Dan. I didn't know what's going on. I know that he was in a band with you. Who knows? Yeah. But, you know, we get to talking, and there's an unexpected synergy between the three of us.
Yeah.
You know? It's not like a separation. It's not like you guys are over here, and I'm listening to your stories. I feel like we came together as a group by the end.
Would you say we came correct?
Sure.
Asking.
Don't put like phrases in my mouth.
I just asked you. I didn't say you said it.
Okay.
You dick. Yep. All right. So now that you've got an idea of how that goes, what would you say your friendship level is, Dan, to the people at this table?
Same. I feel like it's like pretty good. It was the same thing. Like, I didn't know, because I've done one of these before.
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
I just did it on like my own. Like, I tried to do it.
Yeah.
You know, but it was only with one other. And I think that, like, the tripod thing is real. You know what I mean? Like, you're not having to work too hard to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
I do like how it seemed like you got a little mad at the second, when
oh,
you
said which
that.
One?
Because I thought you were about to be like, no, we like to keep people fresh. So if you've been on a podcast before, you got to get the fuck out of here.
We're cutting this. This is done. No.
He has a thing where
Excited. I was excited to hear that you've done a podcast. I didn't know you were like doing your own podcast. Is that what you're saying?
I tried. I tried to figure it out, and it ended miserably. And so, like, I never published it. I just wanted to see, like,
what it was about.
What it was about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How it went, how you felt during the process, or what it would come out. Okay.
So it didn't work out because you didn't have a third person, is what you're saying? Or?
I think that. That possibly.
I mean, we have a ton of Squarespace.
Yeah.
We do have a ton of Squarespace. So if you want a podcast, man.
Yeah, we can put you on it. We also have a ton of just us talking. So I hope those aren't shitty to everyone.
No, they probably are. I mean, 270 people.
Yeah, I don't know. Put us in a room.
Yeah, there you go. Highlight. So, all right. So same.
Same.
Unexpected synergy. Riding high. But keeping my eye. Parentheses. On me.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, because it's weird, because now we go into the ending bit, which is called What We Learned, where we then talk about throughout this episode what you might have pulled out from, you know, things that were brought up, things you're feeling, things that, you know, you might have a new perspective on. BK, why don't you hit us first with the What You Learned?
Oh, okay.
I need more beard scratches in the microphone, by the way.
Definitely say cheesecake.
So is that it? Definitely.
I mean, I did learn about cheesecake for sure.
Yeah,
but I learned that that you have a real commitment to what you're doing. You know,
I don't like where is it going.
You really put in the work, even though you don't do it well. You try hard for, like, you're in a band. You're gonna do merch. You're gonna fuck it up. You're going to do the pressing. You're going to fuck it up. Mm. But you're going to try. Mm. You're going to try real hard.
Yeah.
And you do that now.
I do.
With less fuck-ups.
Still fucking up.
So I feel
up,
like you.
Like,
but yeah, but you know, it's not like Rocket League. Yeah. It's more like.
Whoa. It's okay. More, okay. All right.
You really put in the work on this. And I appreciate that.
Look, man, I'm sorry that I carry you on Rocket League and you're fucking upset about it. Okay. Yeah. But this is not time or place to bring that shit up.
Yeah.
At all. But right. I mean, I get it. You're right.
Charge for it. You're the guy that's like, guys, yes, we're in a band. Yes, this is fun. Yes, we're doing podcasts. Yes, this is fun. But we need to fucking, like, do something.
Okay.
I like that. Right. I learned that about
that,
you.
That I can get more behind.
Okay.
Okay. So, Dan, what did you learn?
That I can legitimately talk about nu metal and wrestling in any situation.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is unfair, because I did know
you
that
know
about
that
myself.
Already, yeah.
But at the same time, even though me and you go back, Chris... we haven't hung out really.
Outside of the pleasantries that you were talking about earlier. Yeah, that's all.
Now I feel bad about calling them pleasantries because it sounds like dismissive.
I mean, that's going to be the name of the episode.
Because I still feel like when I said that it came off as dismissive, I know that both of us fully intended.
But that's what people don't talk about. Like people, that's the whole thing behind pleasantries is we act like it's not a thing. We are being nice to be nice. We're not being nice because we actually care. It's just like, I'm supposed to just be like, okay, yeah, no, yeah, we should definitely hook up something. We should definitely go get a drink.
It's just, it took us 3 years to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it just takes a while sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think
more people should commit. More people should just be like, you know, fuck this.
They should commit to the bit, like they're down with
it. Exactly.
It's what we say here at TFP all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say,
next time you feel like someone's giving you a pleasantry, push that shit. Just be like, Just what time? Let's do it.
Yeah.
Friday, 5 o'clock. I will be there. We will hang out.
Yeah.
And you might have a great experience. Who knows?
I mean, I'm with it. I will say, I mean, and this isn't me, like, just because you're, like, in front of us and it's just, quote, unquote, making us look good. But out of all the people that I've actually invited to the podcast, I was like, I want Dan on. Like, there's some that were, I'm not even ashamed to admit it, were legitimately pleasantries where I was like, oh, hey, man, I haven't talked to you in a while. Like, yeah, we should do this. Mm. But, like, whenever I run into Dan, because Dan's always been the most animated out of the people that I know in that, like, click.
Danimated.
Danimated.
New nickname.
And so whenever I ran into him, I'm like, fuck, like, I know that if we got this fool in a room, it would just be gold. It'd just be a good-ass time. Mm. And so I'm glad that you actually followed through. This isn't what I learned, by the way. This is what I'm saying.
Just comments,
that's all I'm piggybacking on. So I am glad you're able to make it out.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't want to go now, though.
Now I need to know what you learned, though.
I learned that... What did I learn today? I learned that nu metal will stick around forever. Like, there was a time and place that I thought that it was, like, legitimately going to die, mm-hmm. but it's always been kind of, like, bubbling, like, kind of in the middle. Mm-hmm. It's been like Rita Repulsa and mm-hmm. that egg that she was in before it was hatched.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone knew that bitch was there, but no one knew when it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I feel like now it's like...
No one knows she'd be super Asian either.
What? I mean, that dude from Linkin Park was, like, Asian.
Yeah,
Mike Shinoda, his two of them.
I was talking about Rita Repulsa.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying relating.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying because like no one knew that show was an Asian show mixed in with American filming.
Oh yeah, the Senpai or whatever it's called.
Yeah,
yeah,
whatever his name is, that made millions off it. Saban.
Was that a dude?
Saban Entertainment.
Also did VR Troopers.
Yes,
Beetleborgs
with Kelly Ripa.
Yeah, but he
was Kelly Ripa on VR Troops.
Okay, I have to Google this. I know that. But I'm pretty sure
you guys know that everything action wise in Power Rangers and VR Troopers is a show that existed in Japan.
Yeah, yes, I'm telling you, the genre is called Senpai or some shit. But it's basically I don't know the translation, but it's dudes who are in shorts, like not shorts, like
I might have just
body suits with that. And
Kelly Ripa.
What was it?
VR Troopers. Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm on it, man. Don't worry. But yeah, no. What I and
there's
then,
not three people. It was like a white dude, a girl, and a black guy. VR Trooper.
Yeah. It was not a little girl, but like she was like, no, actually, I'm thinking the Beetleborgs.
Never mind. I was super wrong. Kelly Ripa came from a soap opera.
That's a shame. Kelly Ripa, get your history right.
Here's the thing, though.
He's gonna have like a super sick obscure Kelly Ripa reference.
Image,
which everyone looks for. Yeah. That's the fucking bucket list in your life.
Google Images, like the first thing is like Kelly Ripa VR Troopers. So everyone else is apparently thinking the same shit.
Oh really?
Given it's just pictures of Kelly Ripa.
Yeah.
But more people have Googled it. So
right.
I mean, maybe let's make it a thing.
Okay.
Let's just try to spread it around.
Well, like, that's the new
anytime
the new game of telephone. Kelly Ripa was in VR Troopers.
Anytime you're in a place where people are like talking about shit just randomly, hey guys, you remember VR Troopers with Kelly Ripa? And see if you can get people to buy it.
Yeah, it's like the Berenstain Bears, it's the whole thing. Like there was a dimension that had Kelly Ripa and VR Troopers for sure.
Same dimension.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so nu metal will never die, is what I learned.
Can I get a clarification real quick?
Yeah.
Before we leave.
Yeah.
Let me get some clarification.
Maybe for our audience, I don't know. Because I really don't like a lot of metal.
Uh-huh.
I don't like the...
He doesn't. He really doesn't like it.
I don't like the metal in where you cannot understand what they're saying, because it's all that, you know, the
big vocals or like...
So nu metal,
uh-huh.
as my understanding is like kind of like a Korn or a Slipknot or a... It's not the original metal where there's like 7,000 bands that just do that. That sound, you can't understand what they're singing, and then they do the pretty singing, and then they go back to the other singing. Mm-hmm. Like that's just metal, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just one.
So that's all it is.
I just need that clarification. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And why do people like that?
What, metal?
Yeah.
It's just some people like it. I mean, I can't explain why I enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, it's aggression. Maybe
that's the thing I've heard aggression. The most. The angry side of it. It's like a way of being like. Getting out your anger if you're an angry person.
Or, like, I think also, like, metal shredders, like, are, like, musical theory nerds.
Well, that, there is that aspect true. Of, like, I will say this, that for metal, there is definitely an artistry in the actual instruments.
Yeah. Or, instrumentation. Like,
instrumentation is definitely.
I guess with, like, that, there's a band called Meshuggah, and I guess a lot of, like, classically trained musicians they enjoy that band because for, like, musicianship purposes.
Right.
So technical.
It's just that I don't. I'll hurt my. I don't get it.
I like how you're bringing this up now towards the end.
Well, we've been talking about metal the whole time. I needed to like just make sure that I'm on the same page as you guys.
No, that's fair. Did you want to do your thing before we like go?
We go.
You know. What do we do? What do we do on a guest?
We're not doing it this season. I already told you last episode.
Now you're gonna give me your word.
I'm not gonna do the thing, but we'll ask him.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Do you want to do an updated one where you just are like.
Hey, man.
I thought I was going to do a little thing while you do it.
This is the section where we do the hook, where we hook you up and let you tell us what you got going on. So tell us. Hook us up. What's going on in your life, Dan? Where can people find you? What are you doing?
I like this.
Oh, man. Well, my tagline, as I usually say and everything, is sometimes I write, but mostly I'm just yelling. And I'm on Instagram. Yeah. The best place to find me.
Yeah.
I'm Dan Vanderpool. So at I am Dan Vanderpool.
Oh.
You have like a website or like a blog or some shit like that?
I'm currently in the process of moving some things over, but if you go over to the Instagram, you'll see all those updates when those things finally launch. Yeah. So
just keep the Instagram if y'all want to follow this cool ass motherfucker.
Yeah.
I don't think we cussed enough. So I want to say motherfucker.
We didn't. Actually, there's not a lot of dick jokes.
No. This is the first one. Yeah. This is the first one where we're like actually coming correct, like legitimate podcasters.
There's zero dick jokes?
There's usually at least one dick joke in an episode.
Absolutely.
The lack of dick jokes is to this episode's dick joke.
Boom. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
This whole thing's a giant ass dick.
Zoom out.
Hey, zoom
big
out.
Ass, yeah. Big ass dick. Like,
zoom we're gonna out. Make the art is gonna be all a bunch of dicks like forming a picture of all of us hanging out.
Ooh, yeah. A dick mosaic.
Yeah, a dick mosaic.
That's gonna be hard.
Dick zigzag.
Get it?
Dick.
It's gonna be hard.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, sorry. Thanks.
All right. So again, Dan, thank you so much for coming through.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate your time.
Yep.
So without further ado, I think it's
my turn to end it.
Thank God. Okay.
I know.
All right. So. From these three friends. Nope, I'm fucking up. That's you. Because you got it. These three friends. All friends. Sorry. Don't give me that look.
I know.
Go.
From these three friends.
To all of our friends.
New metal never ends.